I've been working with entrepreneurs who are seriously working their ass off, working from early in the morning till late at night, and they don't stop, and they want to make the money, and they feel like that if you don't work all the time, you're not going to create the business or the revenue that you want. You got into this entrepreneur thing because you want to create financial freedom, but you also want to create life freedom. I get it. You need to go to cashflowtoceo.com. I teach simple and proven strategies that work. How to create a rock solid client attraction formula that brings in quality leads. How to provide value the smart way so you can turn cold leads into paying clients faster. I help you learn what kind of value you need to give. How to price your products. How to be confident in selling your products. If this sounds like something that can help you, go to cashflowtoceo.com or click the link in the show notes. I'll see you there.
It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true Sell or Diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. Sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Please help us welcome the great Diana Boer.
So tell us about your email habits. Like, what do you do personally so we can try and model our behaviors?
Yeah, we want to know.
Well, first of all, I think one of the key principles that I try to do is to make sure that I'm not using my inbox as a to-do list. It's not a collection of things to do. You got to clean it out. And every morning when I check my email, if it's something to do, it goes, I schedule it to be done. And then it gets out of my box so that I can see new things that pop in. And that's one of the things we found on the survey is that a lot of people just leave. And when I do a speech on this, people raise their hand when I ask, how many of you have to-dos in your inbox right now? And hands go up everywhere. That's a bad habit. So I clean out my box.
But I'm the kind of person that puts it in there so I remember to do it.
Well, that's the problem. But see, that time, I mean, that email in there, so you remember to do it, is you're always having to look past it and think, now, if you've got it in there 3 days because you're going to remember sometime later, you go back and you think, now, what was the date? Now, when did I have to get back on that? What was I waiting on? I was waiting on some information. You have to pull it up and read to get, oh, close it. I have to wait till Monday to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Now, what was the detail? And you just have to keep stumbling over and opening up and reread to remember. If you open it up and think, oh, I need to do that on Monday because I have to wait to get such and such information, you make a note on your calendar Monday to relook at it and then file it. Then you come back to it and it's not continually cluttering up.
So what you're saying is only look at it once.
Yes. Look at it one time, schedule it, make a note to come back to it on your calendar and then put it away.
Are there other common time wasters? Because I'm just amazed by this stat that 42% of people spend 3 hours a day on email. What are they doing in there?
Huh?
I think they're trying to look at everything that comes in rather than filter it. A lot of clutter comes from the bad use of reply all. You know, when people, let's say that the sales manager is getting ready to pass up the status report. Maybe they send something up to their marketing manager or their boss, a regional manager or something for the quarter. And he sends out a message and says, hey, team, look at this report. You got anything to add? You got the latest update on your accounts? And reply back to me if you see anything that needs to be added, deleted, changed. And everybody responds with some meaningless comment like, looks fine. Nothing to add. Looks okay. Looks
yeah.
great.
Thanks a lot for the info. And yeah. they hit it to everybody.
Yeah. And it's totally meaningless and it distracts everybody. I mean, it's not that it's a big deal to delete it, but if you have 17 of these replies coming to you, it's a waste of time and it's a distraction of that core project that you're trying to work on, that big proposal you're trying to get out. And then every 5 minutes, these responses pop into your box.
Do you think that it's because no one has ever taken a real writing course that they labor with it and struggle with it?
I think, but even in writing courses, I don't think people teach habits. I think that things like how to structure your email, I know we did, how to get rid of grammar errors, how to be clear, how to be concise. You teach principles of that. But many writing courses don't teach good practices for email. I mean, because basically it's a relatively new thing.
Welcome to Motivation Monday.
I love that. Every week we bring you a list. We talk about that list. We talk about if it's valid or not. Yeah. And we talk about how we can extend it and ways in which we're thinking about that list. So who's this week's list
this
from?
This week's list comes from Josiane Fignon. Probably in America it's pronounced Josiane Fignon. But
or Fagon. Josiane Fagon.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
But she's from Sales Gravy, which
we love Sales Gravy.
And we love Jeb Blunt. It's titled Five Tips for Millennials on Keeping Sales Momentum.
All right. Let's
Nada,
start
what's
first
the first one?
All right. The first one is environment. Environment has a lot to do with creating call momentum. If you don't have everything you need at hand, your momentum is doomed from the start. Get organized before you even sit down.
So this is obviously on a cold call thing or some kind of a phone center thing where you're sitting for the day. And I agree. Environment is everything.
Yeah. And I don't think it's not. Okay. So, yes, I agree with what she has said. But I'd like to add to that. It's not just having the things you need, but it's actually creating the environment that you need. So, like, today we took all of the blinds off the windows in the office because I thought it was too dark. Okay. And you need natural sunlight. You need to see plants and living things. You need, like, the normal things like coffee and water and whatever. But you need a happy, inspiring environment. And a lot of times you need to go out and create that yourself.
I concur.
What's number two, Nada?
All right. Number two is longevity. Momentum must be sustained over a certain period of time. You cannot establish real momentum if you spend less than 1 hour calling, which means you must sit for at least 60 minutes and focus on your call. Jeffrey, wow. I know you've said something similar before.
Well, I'm a momentum guy. I'm finishing a book right now, and it took me a while to get my momentum going, but I had to sit in front of it for an extended period of time. When I'm on the phone with somebody, I tend to stand up and walk around because if I'm sitting there, I lose, I don't know, some of the energy from the call. A lot of times you'll see people that are talking about making calls, telling people to stand up or have a mirror in front of you so you can see yourself smiling. So,
just open up FaceTime. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I don't know that it takes an hour. I think you could do it in 10 or 15 minutes if you're seasoned.
Yeah, for sure. But the point is, like, don't go and make a call and then get up and do something else and send an email.
Right.
And then go and make another call and then do five other things. What you need to do is call because that's going to create the momentum that you need.
And humor will also sustain it.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to be a little bit left of center with respect to using lines and things and words that other people might be too afraid to use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Number three.
Number three. It's funny you mention all of that because number three is focus. The article states, focus means saying no to distractions and getting in the zone when making calls. This commitment will get greater results. It's not always easy, but they can do it, especially if you encourage them and make it a priority. You have to fight for your own office space because workplace distractions are at an all-time high. The open space selling environment in particular creates more distractions and less privacy. In fact, there's been a notable decrease in office productivity since 2008. Not surprisingly, the cubicle is making a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to go make sales calls, don't sit in a coffee shop where there's 60 other things going on. Sit in a place.
Including coffee.
Yeah, but sit in a place where you can legit focus, where it's quiet. Take your phone and put it on do not disturb. I think it's the airplane.
This is the king of distraction. Isn't it? This is.
Yeah, it's the airplane. Put it on the airplane.
Exactly. And I think that there's a. An ability for you to not be panicked if you have to put it away for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or even an hour. Your world will not come to an end if you don't deal with your phone for an hour. And when you're distraction-free, you can, better than focus, it's concentration. Concentration will allow you to zero in on what's most important and stay there. Because the minute somebody says something to you, the minute somebody texts you, the minute you get a notification on your phone, you lose your concentration and you begin to distract yourself from success. Not good.
Not good. And in your Truthful Living book, Napoleon Hill
yep.
and you talk yep. all about concentration and focus and the need for it. And he wrote this, Napoleon Hill wrote this, before the age of cell phones, before the age of computers. He like typed it out on a typewriter, right?
Yeah.
So like there were less distractions then, and he still recognized the need for concentration and focus. So this need is ever more important now with the access to tools that we have at our fingertips. By the way, Brandon says, A freaking men, why call in places where you can't hear anything? I don't know. I've never understood that. You know where's a great place to call, though? And I mean this in all seriousness.
The trunk of your car.
No, well. Welcome, Kenna Eamon. You use some interesting system to hire people and profile people when you're looking yeah. for candidates. Can you talk about that?
I think you're referring to the Enneagram.
Yes.
Which is my favorite thing in the world. And I would like everyone to know that I'm really good at pegging people. And I totally pegged Jen. I've been bothering you to take your Enneagram yes.
so I
for
took,
forever.
I took this quiz and it told me I had three numbers. And I was like, but which one am I? And it's funny because it said I was a 3 and then a 2 and then an 8.
Yeah.
And the new quiz that you sent me the right link for, because I was like, what do I do? Which one am I? So you sent me this new link. So I took your quiz or the quiz you recommend, and I was a 3 wing 2.
Which I totally called.
And then on all of my, it shows you like the number of questions you answer at a specific uh-huh. number. And my third number was 8. And
yeah,
I was like,
absolutely.
Oh, okay. But I don't know what any of this right. means. And I bet most of our listeners have no idea what these numbers mean.
But if you do and you listen, you are rolling your eyes right now saying, of course Jen's a 3 wing 2.
So I learned that 3 means I'm the achiever type.
Yes. Shocker.
And 2, I think, means helpful.
Yes, the helper.
The helper.
Yes. And the interesting thing is, like, people lean to one of their wings, and your wing has to be the number next to you. So you'd be a 3 wing 2 or a 3 wing 4.
Oh.
And you're definitely a 3 wing 2.
Okay.
And a 2 under stress goes to an 8, which is where your 8 comes in, which I have not told you yet.
Oh.
Which is interesting. Because
what's 8? I didn't look that one up.
A challenger. That is what I am.
Ah. Okay, so you use this to actually determine who's going to be a good fit at the salon?
Yeah, so, you know, I would never want someone to think, like, I'm scared to take my Enneagram. Is there a bad number? There are no bad numbers. There are just numbers that fit better in better positions and work better with a different number. And so that's one of the things on our application that it says, what is your Enneagram? Because one of the things we found is that actually all of our front desk girls right now, except for one, are 6s or 2s.
Okay.
And so they're either the helper or the loyalist. And so it's really interesting just to kind of see like what numbers work well together, what numbers
yes.
you just want to know. You know, we use it for, okay, this is our first interview. This is what we know on paper you are. I know. No one can be put in a box, blah, blah, blah. All those 5s out there are rolling their eyes at me right now. Like, you can't put people in a box. You can't figure them out. But It helps us to know what questions to ask next. So, for instance, if I was interviewing you, I would be like, oh my gosh, Jen, tell me about this time that you saw something that you like really wanted in life and you put in like all the steps to get there. And you'd be like, I don't know, I've just always done stuff. You're like, okay, cool. Yeah. Or if you're talking to somebody who's a nine, which is a peacemaker, I want to ask them about conflict resolution. Tell me about a time when you had something come up at work that really bothered you with another coworker. How did you handle that? And so it's just kind of figuring out like their strengths and weaknesses based on that. So you kind of know how they'll fit on the team.
That's really cool. I think I'm going to have our whole team here take
it. You should do it.
Because it will help us even better understand each other.
Yes.
That I like that.
And we use it for that. We know how to motivate each person at on our team based on their Enneagram. So like I have a girl who, her name's Taylor, and she's awesome, and I love her. She's a three. So if you sit down with her and you're like, okay, so I need you to work on this, and then these are the numbers you need to hit, and I think if you do this, 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 and this, this would be practical steps to get you there. She's like, whatever. What do I need to do? I'll get it done. Like, don't give me steps. Just don't tell me how to do it. Yeah, just tell me what to do.
The goal.
Yes. And then we have other girls that you have to be like, all right, let me lay this out for you. You know Krista, right? She's the best, my assistant. She needs to just see it on paper, and it needs to make sense because she's a one. She's the perfectionist. So she's like, okay, whoa, there's like a right way
and
a wrong way.
That's why my hair is always so perfect.
I know. Her blowouts are the best. And then we have Kate, who is our other assistant. And so you have to come to her with a like this is a problem to figure out. How can we figure this out? Because she's brilliant, like she's so in her head, but you have to know how to motivate that. And so it's just really interesting.
This is really interesting. Before we even started the show, you were saying that this is older than the DISC and the Myers-Briggs and some of those other assessments.
All of those assessments are kind of based off of this, but it's coming back around because, you know, us millennials, we're like back into the like, let's do things the old way. I don't know. I just feel like
I love
crazy.
It. So sales managers who are listening, this could be a really good assessment. It's free. You can get it online. Yes. We'll put it in the show notes for you to have your sales people take or even, you know, salesperson that if you're listening, you should take this just to know more about you. Like reading the things about me, I was like, how do they know all that? That's so scary. That's exactly who I am.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah. And it helps you to understand. It'll tell you like what you are when you're stressed and what you are when you're healthy. So like for me, I go to a five when I'm stressed. So when I start overthinking things and like over investigating and getting like really infatuated with one thing and getting all the facts, I'm like, oh, maybe
what's a five?
The investigator.
Oh.
The skeptic. So it's just interesting. It helps you to understand yourself and how you're wired and how other people are wired and how to interact with them.
I love it.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.